life changes.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we die. Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. Where the stars are all shining.
I'm Marshall Kerr, and now our host. I have been so looking forward to this show and getting to connect with our guest and musical guest. As I was learning more about them, I was getting excited about each of what they were sharing in the world and how they were showing up. And it's interesting, I got to speak to our musical guest today, and she's going to sing a song, and the title of the song is a word that is not an American word, and she was teaching me the meaning of this word, and I thought, wow, we should have a word like that. And then later on, I was talking to our guest who shared with me a word that is an American word, but it doesn't really exist, actually, in the American dictionary. She made it up. And I thought, wow, that word definitely needs to exist. Thank you to our guest. And I think there are so many more that she might want to come up with, because I love how she was explaining different things. And I thought, we don't have a word for that. And we don't have a word for that. So I was inspired to look up languages and words and all of that, because I've dabbled in those kinds of questions myself in the past. And so I remembered and ran across, again, thankfully, Robert Johnson's words from The Fisher King and The Handless Maiden. So he says, a poverty-stricken vocabulary is an immediate admission that the subject is inferior in that society. So he says Sanskrit has 96 words for love. Ancient Persian has 80. Greek has 3. I thought it was more, but okay. And English only 1. And, you know, we kind of have a couple others, but mainly 1. So this is indicative, he says, of the poverty of awareness or emphasis that we give to the tremendously important realm of feeling. So some of you might know this. Eskimos have 30 words for snow because it is a life and death matter to them to have exact information about the element they live with so intimately. If we had a vocabulary of 30 words for love, we would immediately be richer and more intelligent in this human element so close to our heart. He goes on to say, an Eskimo probably would die if he had only 1 word for snow, and we are close to dying of loneliness because we have only 1 word for love. And so I was thinking about what Tabitha went through, our guest, to come to certain understandings. And what is that process called? And what are some of the things that she experienced called? And how do we refer to them with 1 word so that more of us could say, oh, I'm going through datara, or I've become whatever that is. And so I'm looking forward to Tabitha elaborating on the word that she came up with and why, and potentially more words from Tabitha. And similarly, with our musical guest sharing not only part of her story, but how she sees it and the word that she has brought through in one of her songs, all on the Life Changes show when we come back after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate, but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time, The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, host of The Life Changes Show. This is our at-home edition, and we've titled this episode, Discover How to Recharge Your Life and Ignite Your Power, with our guest, award-winning international advisor, speaker, and best-selling author of Trust Your Animal Instincts, Tabitha A. Scott. Welcome, Tabitha, to The Life Changes Show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. We're going to have a great
we're
night.
So happy to have you. What'd you say?
We're going to have a great night.
Yes, indeed. Well, so you know what word I was talking about. Should we just jump in?
We shall. We should talk about the word energist.
I mean, what a great word. Already I'm feeling the energy.
it's a made-up word to describe this phenomenon of energy that we all have. We all have access to this power within us, to this centricity, and it's democratized. So everyone has equal access to this power, no matter what home you're born into, what's your ethnicity, what's your background, your socioeconomic condition. We all have equal power and access to this energy within us. And religions have talked about it in different ways over millennia. And we've talked about it in modern times. People like Deepak Chopra and Sadhguru and Gabriel Bernstein talks about the law of attraction. And different people have tried to describe this effect of leveraging your energy, of tapping into your intuition. And there's no language to describe it, just as you're saying. And so I said, you know what? You could be left or right. You could be black or white. You could be Baptist or Buddhist, but we're all energists and we have way, way more in common than we do differences.
I like that. Tabitha, if you want to write that up in a blog or something and we can post on our show, just so that on our website, just so that it starts to get some more energist energy to the word. And who knows, you might have just inspired something. Mark is also really good with words, making them up, and it just makes sense. So maybe we just need to start a new dictionary, or at least start sharing these with each other so we can use them. In your case, it's interesting because in order to discover this, it took a lifetime, your lifetime so far, right?
It did take a lifetime, and most of my professional career has been spent in electrical energy. I did, I worked on the world's largest solar array. I've done 3 net zero communities. And so renewable energy and electricity, getting those certifications for engineering and understanding the way electricity flowed really helped me. So when my son got an incurable disorder, narcolepsy, and nothing would work, nothing could cure him, I started studying vibrational medicine, ancient medicines from Hopi Indians or the Far East. and modern vibrational energy techniques. And so I spent 10 years studying and becoming certified in 32 different methods of energy healing, biofield energy work. And what occurred to me when I reached a point of personal burnout, I gave away most of my things and lived near the jungle in Costa Rica for 3 months, was that it's the same energy. The same energy that religions talk about, the same energy that flows through and powers our homes, is the same energy that powers our life. And this epiphany that everyone has equal access to it at all times. And you don't have to be business-minded and logical or spiritual. You don't have to be scientific or religious. It's all the same. You get to pick what you want to be. There's no or in between those words. That's what society has taught us. There's just an and you can create as many ands in your life as you want. So you can be a business person and be spiritual. And so that was a big epiphany. This energy is there at all times for all of us to tap into. And it's all about raising your vibe, keeping a balance within your life.
So you wanted to be something when you were a child. So you came from what and ended up where?
Well, I wanted to be Evel Knievel as a child.
I didn't know that part.
That didn't work out. And so, you know, plan B was I wanted to travel the world and be a hotshot executive. And I got to do that. You know, I worked for large investment firms, and, you know, one was based in Sydney and then based in London. And so I very gratefully got to travel the world and do these large deals, renewable energy, before it was a popular thing. And so going from growing up on a farm with elementary school teachers as parents, I wouldn't change that for anything in the world. Because they taught us about different purposes for animals, that everything has a purpose. So you might be afraid of a snake, or you might be afraid of an animal that you don't understand, but it has an important purpose. And so you should respect that.
Well, it sounds like the animal, I don't know if you were thinking about this when you were an executive flying around, but the animals were talking to you all along. In one way or another, maybe through this energist experience.
I have always had a connection with animals, and whether it was a small child, you know, growing up, I had 4 horses, 6 chickens, which I taught to shake hands, 2 ducks, 3 dogs, 2 cats, and an older sister, you know, and okay. all of those things, you know, gave me a depth of understanding. And I can remember riding my horse, and my cat would ride along on the back behind the saddle, just meowing along the way. And there's this connection with nature that we have. And when you lean into it, you can really understand without the human pretense in front of it. And so that has been there since the time of a small child. And, you know, Filippo, you're a musician. I was able to play, we did Southern gospel. I was raised Christian. And so I could play the piano, but I can't read a note of music. And so it's, where does that come from? You're tapping into an energy source that you don't understand. And if I stopped to think about it, I would mess up. But as a little child, my sister and I would go around and I would play the piano and she would sing, because I kind of sing like a door hinge. And, I would play the piano and, you know, the energy would flow through the keys and the audience would respond. Sometimes it was clapping along or tapping a foot and joy, and you would feel like you were just getting wrapped up into the rapture. And other times you might play something solemn and sad and it would bring a tear or a memory to people's hearts. And so the power that energy has to connect with things we don't understand, whether it's animals or playing an instrument that you're not trained to play, or just walking into a room full of people and naturally being drawn to one of them that says, hey, this person I want to get to know.
You know, actually, as you're sharing that, I'm thinking of your book, Trust Your Animal Instincts. And in the book, you share parts of this story, growing up and then becoming an executive and then selling everything and moving to the jungle. And then later on, we'll get into it in a little bit. But along the way, you have some animal stories, and I have to make the connection based on what you said that it's also people stories. So tell us, for example, the snake story and how that applies to either certain people showing up for us or certain experiences.
Yeah, the snake story was one of the first in my book that I mentioned. And I was at a point in my career where it was a pinnacle of what people would say, quote unquote, is success. And I had recently had a breast cancer scare, and half of my breasts were removed to take care of that. And because of all the shoulds in society, I shouldn't let people see me be vulnerable. I shouldn't, you know, sweat. I don't want people to know about this. I hadn't told anybody at work. Mm-hmm. I also had the son I mentioned with an incurable disorder at home. My marriage had dissolved after 21 years. So a lot of things were coming to this focal point. I'm sitting in a training session, and we're executives from all across the world. And it's a negotiation session. They say, hey, Tab, the teacher says, could you share with the group how you were able to do so well today? You know, you've really shown that you can perform, and your score is at the top of the charts. And this crusty old guy piped up and he said, well, clearly she raised her shirt and used her tits. And it was at that moment that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. And yet I was the backbone of the family, the paycheck. I had this great job. I had a wonderful boss. And so I kept praying, you know, what do I do? What, you know, this doesn't feel good anymore. I feel crushed inside. I feel disrespected, but I have this great career and all this success that I enjoy. And I kept praying. And you know what? I kept seeing more snakes. It was crazy. And I don't love snakes, by the way, but I respect them. And finally, one day, it occurred to me like a bolt of lightning, shed your skin. That's the message. Get rid of it. Because you see, snakes can't grow into what they're meant to be. They're literally held back by their skin. And that was what was happening with me in this job. And even though it made a lot of money, it was holding me back from growing into what God had planned for me. And they also take on parasites. And I thought about the parasites in my life, you know, that marriage that wasn't working, the people that weren't really supporting me at work, or, you know, the self-talk of, you know, hey, I can't fix my son, so I'm failing. I can't cure him, and so I'm failing. And there's so much that we put onto ourselves that becomes a parasite over time. And, you know, people that have breast cancer are way much more likely to have it if they're stressed out, if they're burnout. And so shed your skin. That was the message. And I got it loud and clear and left that job, shed my home and many of the things in it, and said, you know what? I just want to be around nature. I want to reconnect and ask God, you know, what do you have next for me? Because I know there's a powerful purpose here, and I want to be that bridge between the people that are logical minded and the people that connect with their spirit, just to say, you know what? All of you can do this. You can all be energists.
Wow. And so it is. Amen. So with experiences that, like, I like how you said, did you say I don't love snakes, or but I respect them, or something like that, right?
Well, I love them in their way. I don't get excited by them. Okay. You know, my heart still jumps a little when I see them, but I respect them, and I know that they're good little dudes.
So going with that, if we keep encountering certain people who say a certain thing to us that we don't necessarily like, or we keep having a certain kind of experience. It's like, why do I always end up here? Well, that experience, kind of like the snake, might overall energetically might be trying to tell us something, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny how if people are coming at you with a baseball bat, you can see that you are being attacked and you can react. But when people are attacking you energetically, maybe it's a snipe, maybe it's a look, maybe it's just a feeling that they don't wish you well. You can feel that just as well. Why do you think everybody's felt so off balance during the coronavirus? Why do you think that is? It's because our energy is being pulled down. Our vibe is being pulled down by the fear and uncertainty around us, because that's a low vibe emotion. And physics says if we have a high vibe and they have a low vibe, guess which one is going in what direction. So that's why it's so important what you tune into and what you let into your life. It needs to be a high vibe thing.
You know, I have to ask you, so I could just see the papers in your local town, local girl makes good kind of thing. I mean, how exciting for everybody, I'm sure, that did love you and does love you, to see that you became a CEO and of this company and what you were doing, assuming they understood what you were doing, but it looked fancy and respectful and all that, respectable and all that for sure. There are people, I'm sure, that don't understand what we're talking about right here. And it's like, what happened to her?
Yeah.
And what does one say to oneself? Or do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think, when people, first of all, I think we have to really redefine the meaning of success for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so if you are happy, you are successful. And when I was living an hour and a half from paved roads, and I watched little children walk to school every day on dusty roads where it didn't rain for 6 months at a time, and I watched their little white uniforms get dirty during the day. And then at night, because they only had one, their parents would wash them out by hand because they don't have electricity. And they would send them in fresh clothes in the morning, and they were happy. And so it occurs to me that, you know, the biggest success you can have is finding your joy and sharing it with others. And, you know, my parents were elementary school teachers, so they weren't making huge bucks. They weren't making millions of dollars, but you know what? The joy that they brought with others, to others and their students, and the joy that they, you know, taught us about, I'd say that they are wildly successful.
Well, just for the record, I'd say you are wildly successful. So I know that. I just wanted to hear it from you, and I loved how you said that. And actually, so here you go and have this experience for yourself, potentially, you know, to figure yourself out. You come out thinking about other people.
Yeah, it's funny because I wouldn't consider myself a big extrovert. I'm always poured myself into math or work or business or working with animals or some sort of activity, running, diving, whatever. So I wasn't the life of the party ever. And when I got this epiphany of, you know what, you need to share what you know about tapping into this, about avoiding burnout, about taking risks, about hearing your intuition, like write it down because it's free and people need to know that. And you need to focus on the hearts and minds of people to share this. And so that was the purpose of writing my book. It was just to share what I had learned and to let them know, you know what, you don't have to pay a lot of money for this. You don't have to be in a certain religion to have access to it. We all have access to this wonderful, perfect love of the universe.
This is probably the perfect est time to be having this conversation, because so many people have been out of work or haven't been able to go to work, and then so many people have gone to work, and then what has happened?
Yeah, I mean, people have come back from COVID and they're leaving the workplace in droves. Nobody wants to be a cog in the wheel of a corporate machine anymore. Everybody wants to have a purpose, and that's just how we're wired. And, you know, I'm super happy that people have come to this realization. I'm sad about the tragedy of COVID and the impact that's had on our lives. But one silver lining of that experience is that people realize there is more to life than clocking in and clocking out. If you can find a way to follow your passion, and I think you can, and get paid for it, then do it. Take the risk.
So in the book, actually, we got part of the title of the show right out of the book. So trust your animal instincts, recharge your life, and ignite your power. So, and you're saying in the third section of the book, you're not saying, rather, to sell everything and go to the jungle. You're saying there are less dramatic ways to get there. Actually, very subtle ways. Actually, right?
Yeah, you know what? I'm saying I took one for the team, you guys. I took one for the team there. You don't have to do that, because all you have to do, if you don't know your purpose, just stop stressing out. You know, stop stressing out. I have sons and they're 28 and 24. And sometimes they stress out about, I just don't know what my purpose is. And it's okay, son, because you just have to find one little nugget that you like. Find a little waypoint in your journey that feels good. An example of that is, there might be somebody at work that you really enjoy mentoring. And so try to do more mentoring. Find out what you don't like. What are you not resonating with? I don't like doing reports. So ask if you can shift to, you know, automated reports, or, you know, find little waypoints. And what we tend to do is we just want to take the whole journey at once. We want to get on cruise control. And what happens is we end up speeding through life. We end up just racing by all of the cool things to see along the way, where if we just pick a little waypoint that feels a little better and then a little better, and then guess what? You got to take the risk to ask. The worst thing is people that feel very victimized because they haven't been given a raise. They haven't been given a promotion. Whenever I ask, did you ask for it? And they say no. So you have to ask. You have to learn what you love and then take the risk to ask. And I think we're seeing more of that than ever before, as people are just leaving in record numbers from the corporate life.
Wow. Wow. Well, you're hearing it. She's an energist. And in this book, she teaches you how to be an energist too. You can go to powering-potential.com. The book is available where books are sold, and also on the website, and also so much information about what she does. Interestingly, we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back, but by day she works like this with businesses, big businesses, and by night she works with people, and she loves them both. I think it's fascinating. So learn more about her at powering-potential.com. And when we come back, Tabitha, I think it'd be fun if you could read like a paragraph from your book, like that you're inspired to share with us. I mean, you've shared so much already, but if you could read a special paragraph that speaks to you in this moment, or that you think would speak to us in this moment, that would be great. In our next segment, we have our Ask Dorothy question as well. And then later in the show, we have our musical guest, Madison Farish, live with us all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
I am Filippo Voltaggio, and today's episode is Discover How to Recharge Your Life and Ignite Your Power with guest award-winning international advisor, speaker, and best-selling author of Trust Your Animal Instincts, Tabitha A. Scott. Tabitha, what a pleasure it has been getting to know you and getting to chat with you and being inspired by you. And I remembered, as I was looking at my notes during the commercial, of another word you taught me. This is in the English dictionary. I just didn't know it. And so if you could tell us what it is and how it applies to your work in the brilliant way that you did with me, ontology.
Ontology is all about how you're showing up. It's about your movement, your energy, how you are being. And so psychology is what mostly is written about. It's what personality tests and things like that, psychometric tools are built around. How do you feel? What is your emotion? And so my work with energy is around ontology. So it's, how are you showing up? What are you doing? And so there's a shift between the two, between emotion and, you know, how you are showing up, that actors use, for example. They show up as someone else. They show up as a character. And so using that energetically means to figure out what the situation requires and then adjust your vibe accordingly. You might need to amp it up a little bit to bring the mood up, or you might need to slow down a little bit if you're comforting folks or something like that.
And so together we were talking about the law of attraction and getting in resonance and all these other ways that people talk about some of this kind of thing. And you were saying more getting in sync, right?
Yeah. So energetically, and this is through my view and my education is in electricity and more the physics side of things. And so when people use words like the law of attraction, you're manifesting, or like attracts like, they're talking about psychology. If it's a positive person, you want to be around another positive person because it makes you feel happy. However, in physics, or if you look at a magnet, for example, you know, those high-speed trains, they hover because they're on magnets, and the magnets repel each other. And so you can't put two positives together in physics and, you know, magnetics. So it's resonance. And so your wave is in resonance with someone else. And if you think about our language, it's crazy how much electricity is throughout our language. Here's what I mean by that. She lit up the room. I'm feeling burnout. I feel off balance. I'm drained. I'm transformed. You know, why do you think they have a light bulb over people's heads in cartoons? Because we're enlightened. You know, it's prolific throughout our language, our state of being electric. And yet nobody's thinking in terms of being an energist.
Somebody is, you. And now more of us. And thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So did you choose a passage or paragraph for us today from your book?
Yeah, I think I would like to talk about at this point where I was going on a hike with a friend, and this was after I'd written the book, and I was scared about putting it out there, and I wasn't sure I had done the right thing. And I just asked, you know, can I just see this unusual bird if I'm on the right track? And in my mind's eye, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I might see an owl in the middle of the day. That would be so crazy. And I get almost to the end of the journey. I'm like 200 meters from the car, and my heart is just sunken because I haven't seen an owl. And I'm like, okay, this book is bad. This message is not meant to get out. And I'm coming around the corner, and I almost run smack dab into this guy carrying a bright lime green yellow bird that's a macaw. He has it on a chain, and it's on his arm. Like, this is Tennessee. This is Nashville. Nobody has a macaw on their arm. And like, what the heck? And so I want to read to you the last paragraph of that section. And it says, you know, this was Tennessee. And like, what are the chances of seeing an exotic tropical bird on a random hike? Impossible. And yet the bright lime green, red and yellow bird passed right beside me. His black beak tapped the owner's cheek occasionally, and his giant tail feathers flowed beneath the man's knees. I'm a student of life. I'm learning that there are no limits. I want you to know with absolute certainty that your life, too, is full of surprises and rich with everyday miracles beyond your wildest dreams. It's time to reconnect, to recharge your life and ignite your personal power. I can't wait to see what happens next.
Aww. Or I should say, no, I'm not going to do a bird sound.
Caw. I'll do it for you. I'm from Kentucky. We can do all kinds of things.
Well, good on you. You have done all kinds of things, and I get the feeling you're going to be doing many more all kinds of things that we will want to hear of and share with our audiences and help it grow. And I have to give a shout out to a friend, Marianne Pestana, who I've known for years, and who she said, you have to do this interview. She didn't exactly say it like that, but she just knew. And thank you to Marianne, and thank you, Tabitha A. Scott, for showing up like you showed up.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. And yes, I love Marianne. She is an absolute godsend, and I'm so grateful to know her. So very appreciative of her.
And I look forward to getting to know you. You're in a different part of America, but one of these days when we're traveling more and all that, I just get the feeling we're going to get to all connect, and looking forward to that. So Tabitha, thank you so much. I want to remind everybody before we close this to go to powering-potential.com, powering-potential.com. We didn't get to talk about the work you do with businesses or with people, but I think if they get trust to your animal instinct, or they just trust their instinct on what they heard tonight, they'll want to work with you. Thank you, Tabitha.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to hearing Madison, and we can help your business as well.
Yay. Okay. Well, with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Josie in Canada. I'm so grateful for the workshops you did when I lived in LA for our private sessions. You gave us some amazing affirmative prayers, and I have been using them ever since. I do my affirmation prayer before I start my day, and it feels great. However, it appears to me that the world has gone crazy, and most of my friends and clients are getting sadder and more depressed each day. All they want to do is talk about how bad things are, and so I'm beginning to focus on the insanity that is going on in today's world. I love my friends and clients and so want to change the vibrations that have shifted in such a way that I too am becoming depressed and disillusioned. I thank you in advance for any suggestions that will assist me in shifting my consciousness and that of my friends and loved ones.
My dear Josie, it is good to know that you still do the daily affirmative prayer. However, once you move into the day and you begin using your words and conversations to focus on what is wrong in the world, please know that you are still affirming, but are affirming in a very negative way. We create our reality with our thoughts, words, actions, and feelings. So if we spend 10 minutes doing our positive affirmations and then spend most of the rest of our time affirming that the world is going crazy, we are contributing to the craziness. You are a natural leader, and I believe it is time for you to lead your friends, clients, and loved ones to use their time in a much more constructive way. When my clients call me and want to blather on about the horrible state of today's world, I lovingly ask them to stop and to tell me about the good things that are happening in their lives. Once I am able to get them to focus on even one small happy moment, their energy changes, and then they can see that the more we choose to be conscious of where we focus our energy, the happier we can be. There's so much good happening in today's world, and if we choose to look for it and focus on it, we can work together to co-create order out of chaos and build a happier future. And please remember that it is easier to work through difficult things better if we're in a clear state of mind instead of coming from a steeped in fear mind. Let's find a way for you to focus on more joy and share more love and laughter with everyone you know. And together, you can co-create much change in your emotional bodies. I look forward to hearing how you progress with focusing on the good in your life and assisting others in doing the same.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Madison Farish, here on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
Back. I am Filippo, and this is our musical segment with singer, songwriter, artist, Madison Farish. Madison, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Hello. I'm getting my mic unmuted. Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Are you calling from the desert now?
Yeah, Joshua Tree.
Wow. Now that's a place where one can really get into themselves, spiritually, or right?
Yeah. Yeah, actually I moved out here right before quarantine, and it was when I came for New Year's 2020, the first time I had been here, and I saw a sunset, and I was like, I need to come out here. And it was for that space. It was much needed. So I get why it's a hub for exactly what you're speaking to.
Mm. Well, so it's not only what you obviously were called there. You have grown there quite a bit from what I understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a short period of time.
Yeah, I got inundated. And it's been fantastic. The community, first off, having a family here has been incredible. And it's allowed me to really dive into exactly what Tabitha's speaking to of where's that meeting point of living and creating in passion and having that afford me to live in the way that I love, that I want to explore the rest of the world through.
You know, it's interesting because from what I know about growing up for you and some of the things that were going on in your life, like you were already in Joshua Tree in the sense that you had a crash course in getting into the spirituality of your life.
Yeah. Yeah, whether I was aware of it or not, you know, I found an old journal when I was probably in kindergarten when I was home in Virginia a bit ago, and I saw my drawings and I was like, things I love. And it was like basketball, which I didn't even remember playing much, but it was some sports and drawings, and then randomly meditation. And I'm like, what the heck? So there's something internally that's been running its course, and finally, I'm getting out of its way, I'd like to believe.
Well, you know, it's interesting when we talked, and even in your publicity, you talk about discovering your sound, and you're in the process of, and it just it feels like that this is a journey. Like it's a mm-hmm. journey of discovering, and you're bringing so many different things to your music and to the audience that gets to listen to you, the growing audience, I have to say. You have some things to say to people. What is the overall message that's coming through in your music?
I would say, you know, right now what comes through is taking a second to breathe with us in this moment. And whatever I can do to connect us in that presence, in whatever state we're in, that it's okay. It's all okay here. There's a home for you here. And there always will be that, you know, we're all loved in that space. So that's what came through right now. Yeah.
Beautiful. It connects to what Tabitha was saying too. And what about finding yourself?
Do you mean in terms of what Being I would share yourself. With my music in that?
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, you, from what I've heard, there's a lot of, you know, be yourself kind of thing, or find yourself, or
yeah,
show up as yourself.
Exactly. Which, you know, I would say that's ever changing, right? So the capacity or the space that we allow ourselves, the permission, something that came up in listening to Tabitha was when someone hasn't asked for a raise and they want it, it's this deeper belief that I've seen in myself recently, and it's, I'm not allowed to be capable. And it's like, okay, the minute we can be present with that and see the passiveness that can result is that, and we can connect to ourselves in our heart and then move in love rather than this, I would say that's the energy I was growing up in a lot, is that I'm not allowed to be capable. So shifting out of that and giving yourself space to exist in and express yourself in right now and whatever you want that to be.
Well, you found a way to express something through a word, which I referenced at the beginning of the show. So tell us what the word is, and then it's actually the title of the song we're going to hear right after, right?
Yes, absolutely. So this is called Sawubona. It's spelled S-A-W-U-B as in boy, O-N-A. And I recently have heard of this word, and it's basically meaning we see you. Not I see you, but we see you. So we encompassing the generations before me, and that they are all existing right now together to see you and your collective of who's come to be in this world, so that we could be here sharing this space today and honor this moment for why it is we may be crossing paths.
Thank you for that. So here is Madison Farish singing live online her song Sawubona.
Oh, got some weird on my amp. There we go.
Listen to me, gorgeous. Baby, I know that it's your purpose. And I tell you, you're wrong. You'll never write a hit song. Listen to me, lovely. You know there ain't nothing bubbly about you calling them home. You see, the future's your own. If you listen to me, my love, please set yourself free from the pain and the things they see. If they tell you you're wrong, never stop writing songs. Don't conform, you were born to love.
Wow. I mean, everything was so disarming, and I didn't think I could be disarmed any more than all of a sudden you did that laugh. Oh my gosh. Madison, everybody.
Thank you.
Madison, you're a star. I'm so excited to have the opportunity for you to share with our listeners as you are. We had the great opportunity of seeing you live at the Wowmaker event put on by Lynn Rose, with some amazing people like Harold Payne and Ben Vereen, and it was just a fabulous night. And you just, you blew me away then, you're blowing me away now.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. And Madison Farish, I'm going to spell that because her Instagram account is Madison Farish. Madison, M-A-D-I-S-O-N, and Farish is F-A-R-R-I-S-H. And by the way, I think... Sawubona is a Zulu word, so I want to give credit to that. We've borrowed words in our language from Germanic, from German language and French language and Italian language. Let's start borrowing from other places of the world that got it going on in ways that we need to get it going on. So thank you for bringing that, Madison.
Absolutely, yes, and thank you for honoring them. That's so important.
You know, So it's interesting. I would have loved to get into this with Tabitha today and my own story. She mentioned I am a musician, and I am. And I came from the corporate world. And Madison, I have to say, so this whole thing about the starving artist, you know, I was making really good money in the corporate world. And then I said, I'm going to be an artist. And all of a sudden I acted like I didn't know how to make money. I mean, like, what is that? You know, I'm like, I know how to make money, but I didn't make the connection. Like, oh, now I'm an artist and now I don't make money. So how are you dealing with that? Because I know it's something you talk about.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly why I'm putting together this next interview series. Is it's called the Right to Freedom series, and it's about how to monetize songwriting. And really, I think that it's a level of awareness for me, of you know, cueing myself to know how much we do celebrate art in our culture. Because, you know, maybe it's that it wasn't in my immediate family, anyone pursuing music professionally or whatever it was, wherever I had an awareness of, if I choose the artist route, then it means that I suffer in a particular degree, in order to be either successful or whatever that means. And then I started cueing myself to know where art is celebrated, and I found it's everywhere. And that really started to help me shift from, oh my gosh, you know, I was scarce to see it, and now it's ever flowing. So, and there's moments when I forget too. So reminding myself of, that, you know, like never ending expression internally and seeing it in others, it's been really beautiful. So that's the first step. And this series is bringing together some artists, some songwriters, some leaders in positive change in that way, to go, hey, how do we establish monetary freedom through expression? And then, you know, use that space to spread awareness of global causes we can all share a collective voice in. And so it's the Right to Freedom in the WRIT form, and as well as R-I-G-H-T.
Nice.
For others,
And you're going to be posting that on your website, right, at medicineferrish.com, right?
Exactly. Okay. That'll be in September.
And that attitude will open doors. See what I did there?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. you know, and I think that it's been even more exciting and easier to put this one together when I realize how many different experiences we're all having. It's partly a fundraiser for women and children in Afghanistan, and I go, wow. When I'm looking at the reality that these people that I want to support are facing right now in comparison to mine, it's pretty fun to put something together that could be supportive. I get out of my own way a bit.
Nice. Well, speaking of doors,
let's do it.
So here is Madison Farish with another live online song here on the Life Changes Show, Doors.
Knowing that you're running from you, and it's not fair.
Does it ever get lonely? Further down, but what's it like for you? Okay, do you get scared knowing that they're coming for you when they don't care? Someone told me the door key. The woman who is singing and fry, who's never loved the skin, who's only seen a light. I got the baby who's chasing her dreams, who's never loved, no, who's tougher than she seems. What's it like to see every side, by running through fear and running through trifle? What's it like for you up there? Do you get scared knowing that you're running from you and it's not fair? Does it ever get lonely? What's it like for you up there? Do you get scared knowing that they're running for you when they don't care? Someone told me the door key. Now there's so many now forgotten to look within. It's never been sin. Oh, I wish you could all see that the power lives inside you and me. Oh, I wish we could all see that the power lives inside you and me. So what's it like for you out there? Do you get scared?
Wow. Madison Farish, thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a pleasure. Madison Farish, F-A-R-R-I-S-H, that's on Instagram, Madison Farish, and madisonfarish.com. Thank you so much for showing up like you showed up.
Thank you, Filippo. It's been a pleasure, and thank you, Mark and Lynn and everyone. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to more with you too as well. So a big thank you to our musical guest, Madison Farish, and to our guest, Tabitha A. Scott. And to use the words of Madison Farish, I wish you could all see the power is inside you and me. And after this show, I believe more of us can. So that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, as ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.